Well, hey there, this is Danny Sunshine Bauer, host of this podcast, and my mission in life is to help school leaders fight isolation and frustration via a leadership community in order to gain clarity and find solutions to their greatest challenges. If you get value from today's show, you can show some love back by subscribing to this podcast and leaving a rating and review where you're listening right now. I can serve more school leaders by having a better ranking, which is tied 100% to subscriptions, reviews, and shares on social media. In today's show, I talk with Mark Perna, and we explore a number of interesting topics like improving employee performance and retention. Don't look at young people as a challenge to be solved. Instead, do this. In career and lifestyle, younger generations care more about the lifestyle piece. Thanks for spending some time with me listening to the show. I hope you enjoy it. And before we jump into the episode, let's take some time to thank our show sponsors. A lot of school leaders talk about improving student soft skills to help them succeed in their rigorous coursework. The problem is that most leaders just talk about it without actually doing anything. You can improve your students' non-cognitive skills today by checking out an amazing program called Organized Binder. Learn more at organizedbinder.com. Students who participate in the Conrad Challenge don't learn to think outside the box. There is no box. Learn how innovation takes off and soars beyond the confines of a box at conradchallenge.org.
Hi, I'm Dan Krynas from the Leader of Learning podcast, a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts. Make sure to check out all the other great podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. And get ready, because the learning begins in 3, 2, 1.
Well, hey there, better leaders. I'm excited today to connect with somebody new, Mark Perna, who is the founder and CEO of TFS, a full-service strategic communications and consulting firm whose mission is to share and support every client's passion for making a difference. As an international generational expert and author, Mark frequently delivers keynote speeches across North America and spoke at Harvard University by special invitation. Mark's first book, Answering Why, Unleashing Passion, Purpose, and Performance in Younger Generations, was written to help educators, employers, and parents understand generations Y and Z and inspire them to greater performance in all areas of life. You can find out more about Mark and his work at markcperna.com. Mark, welcome to the show.
Danny, it's great to be here. Great honor. Looking forward to it.
So I think we need to start with, how do you get a special invitation to Harvard University to speak?
Well, you know, it's so funny that you ask that question, because it was a crowning achievement in my career to be invited to speak there.
Yeah.
Because, hey, full disclosure, because in high school, I didn't have a prayer making it to Harvard based on my high school performance.
Sure.
I like to joke with people and say, you know, in high school, I was in the half of the class that made the top half possible. So yeah, to get an invitation to come and speak, it was to a conference of K-12 statewide superintendents, mm-hmm. Governors, lieutenant governors, K-12 superintendents, chancellors of community college systems, and Fortune 100 top executives. So I got it because sometimes you're the word of what you do kind of goes on out there, and people resonated with the things that I was talking about. So I was given that opportunity. So great crowning achievement.
Yeah, that sounds wild. And thanks for making the top 50% possible. But it sounds like you've found your niche, and people are responding to the message. So did you speak there about this generations Y and Z?
Actually, you know, the theme of the conference, and so this was just a couple of years ago, the theme of the conference for all of these people, they invited 400 people to attend and 600 people showed up. And the theme of the conference was, how do we get the country off this notion that everyone has to go to a four-year university to be successful in America? Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, I'm a tremendous fan of a four-year degree and beyond. But not everybody needs one to do with the things they want to do in life. And
right.
So what I spoke about that day was this notion that we have in the country where, you know, you hear it as you go, you know, school to school. It's like, you know, we need to make kids college and career ready. And that's what I talked about that day, was the younger generations. But I also talked about this notion that nobody reads the word "and" in between the word college and the word career.
Yeah, they stop at college.
Yeah, they read it. Well, they read it as a pathway, like it's college, then career. And so what I spoke about that day to rousing applause was, I don't think we should be making kids college and career ready in this country. I think what we should be making them is career ready, period. Sure, there's a whole bunch of careers that go through four-year universities and beyond. You know, a whole bunch of them go through two-year community colleges. A whole bunch go through licensures and certifications and advanced certifications and apprenticeships. And, you know, there's so many different ways for young people to get where they want to go today that, you know, to pigeonhole all students into the only way to be successful is through X, you know, pathway is limiting. And that's part of what's creating, you know, a tremendous skills gap in America today. And so as I tried to connect these dots, more and more people are resonating with how we need to kind of transform education and workforce development and kind of get the right people at the table, you know, on a national perspective so that we can close this enormous skills gap, which is creating challenges in this country.
It's fascinating. And, you know, I think about my own career trajectory and it's pretty traditional in terms of high school, college. I loved school so much and thrived there. I always wanted to work with people and I sort of pigeonholed myself. It made sense that, okay, if I'm an educator, I'm going to be around people all the time interacting. What I knew is I didn't want to be stuck behind a desk, you know, in a cubicle, that kind of thing. But long story short, that whole process of educator, administrator, and now as a podcaster and school leader coach, it's been wild. And now I have access to all these types of people as I've tried to figure out how to grow this as a business, just seeing so much that's out there. And yeah, college is great and it makes a lot of sense for a number of professions, but some of the things that my friends and they're absolutely crushing it. It actually doesn't have to be a part of that path, you know? They could start that right out of high school, or maybe, you know, do a couple years in college and then figure out what they want to do. But it's fascinating how we seem to make it just the pathway, the end all be all.
Yeah. And so let me connect the dots. I love what you just said. So just a week and a half ago, I'm in Davenport, Iowa, and I'm working with Davenport Community Schools. I'm working with executives from John Deere. I'm bringing and helping, you know, them bring a community and a region together in order to connect, you know, schools, so connect their K-12 system to business and industry, to the four-year universities, to the two-year community colleges, and kind of brand, you know, Chamber of Commerce, and trying to connect all the dots so that they can significantly close the skills gap in that area. And John Deere's on board because they've got tremendous manufacturing capabilities down in that Quad Cities area of Illinois and Iowa. Mm-hmm. And they need, you know, a powerful workforce that can do the kinds of things that allow them to accomplish their goals and their mission. So I went, it was a week ago Friday, and I went, John Deere was gracious enough to invite me to their John Deere Davenport Works, which is a 2.2 million square foot facility where they make huge construction equipment and large agricultural equipment. And as I'm walking the floor and I'm getting a chance to talk to people, I meet Megan. She's 24 years old, really sharp young lady. And I just asked her, you know, as I like to ask young people all the time, I said, you know, what's your story? How did you get where you are right now? Mm-hmm. And she went into this story. She says, well, you know, I went to West High School, which is here in town, you know, as part of Davenport Community Schools, and I took welding. And, you know, I still worked on my academics, but I took welding. I got all my certifications. Then, you know, upon graduation, instead of going straight to, you know, college, I started working for John Deere. I wanted to make a little bit of money, kind of decide what I wanted to do. And then she worked there for a year and then decided to get a four-year degree. John Deere paid 2/3 of the college bill for her to go and get her degree. Mm-hmm. She got her bachelor's in 4 years. She got her bachelor's in business. So now she's got welding certifications. She understands the entire paint operations at this humongous facility. She's also a precision machinist. She also has a bachelor's in business. She's now in the process at the age of 24, going from an hourly worker to a salaried, you know, and starting her trek through management. Mm-hmm. And so this is 24 years old. And I looked at her and I said, this is extraordinary the way you did this. She has zero debt. It didn't cost her it cost her a third, but she was making enough to afford it, you know, Danny. So, I mean, so it connects all the dots. And I looked at her and I said, I'm just curious, do you stay in touch with a lot of your peers in high school? And she said, yeah. I said, what are they doing now? And she said, well, she says at least half of them went directly into college and they graduated. And today, most of them are like working in retail, and you know, in nothing that's related to what they studied in college.
Wow.
So she went with what I call purpose. You know, I came up with this concept and strategy called education with purpose, where I believe that all our young people should choose wherever they're going. There has to be purpose, because they should never invest a dollar going anywhere unless there's purpose behind it. That's exactly what this young woman did. She went with purpose. She got a job making great money, got her degree. Now she's moving up in a corporation she absolutely loves. And her competitive advantage against people who simply just get a degree but don't know exactly where they're going yet is extraordinary.
Yeah, well, what I'm hearing you say too, I mean, she really understands the business from the machine floor up to now higher levels of management as she goes through that journey. So she really understands every aspect of creating whatever widget it is that they do.
That's correct. She understands it systemically, so that she can take that knowledge that a tip. So let's take another 24-year-old with a degree in business walks into their organization not understanding any of that, whereas Megan's got it from the ground up. You're so on.
You know, and at this point, I want to give a little shout out to one of my mastermind members, Chris Jackson. He has an incredible story, but I don't know how many school leaders you know that started at their local school as a custodian. So he was custodian, he was classroom teacher, he was an athletic director, and then moved up through administration. And in some respects, you know, this really reminds me a bit of Megan's story too. And he gets it. He knows the community so well, and he's seen every aspect of it. So that helps him. That gives him a competitive advantage in terms of how he leads his community.
Well, because he understands. You know, I mean, so much of what good modern leadership is understanding and being empathetic to where people are working and mm-hmm. what issues and challenges there are at the tactical level. And this is what I do when I'm, you know, consulting and coaching with organizations, is that you've got to understand the tactical level. You can't simply lead from the top down and hope that it all gets done without understanding what are the challenges. How do you go back to those people and understand, you know, what issues and challenges and needs do you have in order to accomplish our goal and our mission, you know, whatever that objective needs to be. So yeah, no, I have such great respect for anyone that starts, you know, kind of at the entry level and works their way through. There's just great value in that.
So if you don't have the same opportunity that Megan or like I just described Chris and seen it from the bottom up, you know, what would you say to a leader in terms of understanding everything about, you know, the community and being able to empathize with something that you just mentioned? How do they get that perspective and that understanding if they haven't gone through all the steps, so to speak?
Boy, that's a great question. I don't know that I have the answer to that question. I don't know, because there's no magic bullet on it. I wish I could tell you there was some mm-hmm. magic bullet. To me, you know, you either have empathy and understanding or you don't. You either, you know, try to impose your will, or you get people to come on board your vision. And so, you know, a large part of what I do, you know, with the younger generations to me are anyone 38 and younger. We tend to think, you know, if we're talking about education, we're talking about, you know, middle schools, high schools, and mm-hmm. colleges. But the truth is that, you know, the millennial generation and Generation Z are 38 and younger. They right. currently, you know, are the largest, you know, generation block in this country, and we need to learn how to deal with them and to empathize and to understand what makes them tick. And that's why I wrote Answering Why, is so that you understand how they tick, how they make decisions, why they do and choose the things they choose. And it doesn't mean you have to agree with it. It doesn't mean you have to disagree with it. It just right. means this is their perspective, you know. And I'm at the very end of the baby boom generation, and I realize up front that I'm different. I came from a different time. The world was a different place. Today, they're viewing things very differently. But you know, the thing that that lights me up and what I try to get leaders to understand is that almost everything you hear and see about the younger generations today is largely negatively slanted. You know, they're lazy, they're entitled. I go completely the other way. I think they're the most incredible generations to come down the pike. I think they are the most intelligent, resourceful and pit bull-like generations that we have ever seen. When they see a want-to in their life, they will move heaven and earth to get to that want-to. But our challenge, quite frankly, Danny, is as parents, educators, and employers, it's getting them to want something. That's where the game is played. So the vision that either a corporation or a school or a classroom has for where they're going and how they're going to get to their career and lifestyle, the lifestyle that they dream of, that all depends on the empathy and the understanding that you have about where they sit and where they're going.
Yeah, so I know maybe this is some stuff that you talk about in your book, Answering Why, Unleashing Passion, Purpose, and Performance in Younger Generations. But what I'm hearing too is if I can not necessarily agree or disagree, but just understand that person's perspective, if I could reflect back what their values are, what they're trying to communicate to me as a leader, and get them to say that's right, then I'm able to understand that perspective and influence them and help, you know, I guess just steward my responsibility as a leader working with them to help them accomplish those things that they've set out in their life. And so I'm curious, Mark, you know, I know you like to talk about what it takes to improve employee performance and retention, especially with these younger generations. So can you talk a bit about that?
Yeah. So two comments based on your question and then even the comment that you just made. First off, I say with great passion, if you, anyone, looks at the younger generations like they're a challenge to be solved, you're missing it. You're completely missing it. And that's the way most people look at it. It's like, well, how do we solve this problem? It's not a problem. If you look at it with those eyes, you're already working against yourself. You need to look with the eyes that they are a tremendous resource that can be unleashed within your home, your classroom, and your organization. And if you look with those eyes, it's extraordinary. So the reason I called my book Answering Why, W-H-Y, Answering Why, is because young people today need an answer to everything they do. They have to. We trained them. This is the way the culture has turned around. We have parented them to want to know why they're going where they're going. And so this is an aha moment for a lot of places that I speak. I do 50 to 60 keynote speeches a year across North America. Mm-hmm. And this is an aha moment. When, you know, if you ask anyone 38 and younger to do something and they look back at you and they say, well, why should we do it that way? Or why should I do it that way? Most of us take that as a smart aleck response. And we give the all-American response back, which is, because I said so.
Yeah, I'm the boss.
Right? I'm the boss, mm-hmm. man. You know, I'm imposing my will on you. But here's the aha moment, is that most young people don't mean it as a smart aleck response. What most young people are really saying, in any, whether it's in school, whether it's in or organization, whether it's in the home, what most young people are saying is, hey, look, why do we do it this way? Because there has to be a better way to do this. There has to be a way, you know, I'm unique, special, important, intelligent, resourceful. Why do we do it this way? Because there must be a way to use Google or do it in the cloud or do, you know, there must be a
automate
way.
Automate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, automate it, whatever it is. I mean, there has to be a way to do this, and we can get further and faster if you allow me to add my creativity to solving this problem. Now, I tell educators this all the time. Whether they can actually do that is irrelevant. The fact that they want to is the gift.
Mm-hmm. I like that. You know, it makes me, and we talk about this in the leadership group that I coach, but just to ask why to everything, the tradition, because a lot of times when it's built, it was serving some type of need or addressing some challenge that's no longer relevant. But yet we still do it because it feels comfortable. It is traditional, but it's no longer serving our communities. So I asked them the question, why in their schools? And then for myself, I was thinking, well, what does that look like as a podcaster and leadership coach? And so I asked, why do I have to host my own show? I don't have to. Everybody knows it's mine. And so I'm going to keep stopping by and doing great interviews, and Better Leaders, Better Schools is still going to be my thing. But I have a second show called the School Leadership Series, and it's daily. It's 5 minutes or less. And the reason I'm talking to listeners and you, Mark, about this is because I realize what I've built, there's a responsibility there. And in our culture and around the world, there's certain voices that get extinguished and silenced. And I'm not going to be a part of the problem. I'm going to be a part of the solution. And so I'm inviting all sorts of people to host my show to tell their story, to push education forward, because I just think we win when we have diversity. I think we win when we bring all those voices to the table.
Absolutely true.
So in terms of dealing with these generations then, so we're talking a bit about the younger generation. And if you take the why questions as a smart aleck, you've already lost. But that's just not the teacher that we work with as school leaders. We still have the loving, we lovingly call them dinosaurs, right? And everywhere in between. And so how do you work within a multi-generational organization and still help everybody thrive?
I mean, the key is understanding. You got to break through the generational rift. You know, older generations look at younger generations like they're missing the boat. Younger generations look at older generations like, hey, look, you're missing the boat. And the only main difference between that is perspective. Today, there's far more resources and, you know, and technologies and things that are available than there were, say, when I was, you know, growing up and at school age. And so those kinds of resources and technologies have allowed us to get so much further and faster. And yet I think sometimes our educational system, or at least in too many cases, tends to hold back the process. It tends to be done the way it's always been done. And I think we're at a point in our lives where, I mean, let's face it. I mean, let me give you a great example. My son, Matt, who's 31 years old today, he's married and he and his wife have given me two beautiful grandkids who are 4 and 1, and they're just a treasure. My son never has had any practical experience in any home ownership kind of situation. Like, you know, I used to hire people to come in and do the stuff I needed because I always traveled and I was always kind of working hard and I never had time to do, you know, carpentry kinds of stuff. You know, I could figure a few things out, but we didn't do any actual work around the house. My son has built rooms. He has demolished bathrooms. He has done all this plumbing, electrical, all of these different kinds of things. How did he do it? You already know the answer.
YouTube.
He went to YouTube. I need to do baseboards. Boom. He's watching a video on YouTube. I need to demolish my bathroom. I mean, he took it down to the studs. He took it down where the floor was gone. You were looking the basement. And he did, I mean, I walked in astonishment. I'm like, how do you do that? I mean, who are you talking to? He goes, I just YouTube it. Everything from how to, you know, grind down a floor. And so this is learning at the speed of today, is that you can literally look up anything. You can learn a process. You can learn to cook. You can learn anything. And to me, this is the biggest change. And this is what I think older generations do not tap into nearly enough, that these kinds of resources are available, because we're still, used to use the term dinosaurs. So I'll stick with your term. Dinosaurs are still meandering, you know, through the countryside, you know, kind of in that lumbering, you know, doo-doop, 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 because we don't realize there's now a super highway, you know, built that we could get onto a tractor trailer and have someone pull us around. So, you know, and yeah. I just put that whole metaphor up, but, you know, just to fit your dinosaur, you know. But that's where we've got to get teachers, you know, and administrators and critical support staff members, you know, to understand the power of unleashing passion, purpose, and performance in younger generations. If they look, again, I go back to, if they look with those eyes, you start looking for ways to unleash it. If you look as a challenge, you look for ways to avoid it. That's the difference.
Mm. Yeah, so good. And I'll tell you what, though, once you unveil the power of YouTube to some folks in the older generation, there's no turning back. My mom YouTubes like crocheting stuff all the time. She's a monster.
That's great.
Yeah. She probably needs to start her own channel. I mean, she's absolutely, you know, consuming and knitting. She sent me home with socks and hats and all this stuff for my wife. And she's absolutely loving it. But we're not here to talk about crocheting. We're here to talk about you. But let's pause here for just a moment for a message from our sponsors. Organized Binder is a proven education success platform. Case studies show it develops the skills and habits students need for success. Organized Binder provides teacher a common structure and language for daily and unit planning without interfering with the teacher's individual style. With Organized Binder, parents gain a clear picture of what their student is learning and how to best support them. Organized Binder equips school leaders with a universal solution to unify and build positive school culture. Visit OrganizedBinder.com to learn how this education success platform supports students, teachers, and parents. All right. And we're back with Mark Purnum, today's guest. He's the author of Answering Why, Unleashing Passion, Purpose, and Performance in Younger Generations. And we're talking about building empathy, building understanding of a multi-generational workplace. We're talking, we heard a really powerful story about Megan. So if you're just joining us here, make sure you rewind and go back to that and hear how starting at the bottom and really rising to the top and having that really holistic understanding of how everything is done is such a competitive advantage. And then we just finished up with the power of YouTube, where that's either learning how to rip up your house and build it from the ground up, or how to crochet some new socks. So here we are, and Mark's back with us. Any other comments about the book before we wind down this show that you think's important you'd like to highlight here?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to. There's so much in the book, although it's an easy read. But the book itself is really, you know, it's almost like, you know, just understanding how young people think today. What, you know, what makes them tick, how they move forward as a tremendous resource, you know, either in your home, your organization, your school, your classrooms. So that's a critical thing. I talk about, you know, a lot about focusing the light at the end of the tunnel in the book, which is a concept that I created a number of years ago, actually 15, 16 years ago, where, you know, teachers, you know, no matter what you're teaching, no matter what level you're teaching it at, how you create a light at the end of the tunnel for students at any level. So the light at the end of the tunnel, you know, what does their lifestyle look like potentially? What does their career look like? What are they trying to get out of this? There has to be a light at the end of the tunnel for every young person. And it can be different for everybody. It's all based on their own unique interests, talents, and abilities. It's not meant to put everyone through one lens, but put through their own lens. But they need to champion what it is in their life that they're moving towards. They have to be moving towards something. That's the tunnel. The tunnel is the work, the labor, the effort, the skill development, the academic rigor, you know, whatever it's necessary to get wherever it is they want to go. That's where they want to go. And so between career and lifestyle, I use those two words a lot. You know, the most important of those two words is the word lifestyle. You know, more than half of every decision a young person makes today is based on how it affects their lifestyle. Career has actually become a lifestyle decision. So the more we understand and embrace the knowledge of lifestyle for people 38 and younger, the more we can adapt the way we connect, engage, and push them further and faster.
Yeah, it's really fascinating, especially with that lifestyle piece. And I see younger generations asking the question, yeah, how does that impact my day-to-day quality of life? Because that's the yes or the no sort of, lens that they put many decisions through, because they have a vision back to that purpose, right, of what they want to experience on a day-to-day basis. And they have to find then the career or whatever to support that vision for their life. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, you're exactly understanding it. You know, to kind of add to this, so there's all of these different things going on out there, and so people are trying to solve it. You know, it seems to me every time I open a newspaper, or, you know, magazine, or watch the news, people are trying to solve different facets of, you know, young people in education. You know, how do we, you know, increase test scores, and how do we do all of this stuff? And we have to, you know, embrace the fact that until someone knows where they're going and why they're going there, why do they go? You know, they're not going to go down the tunnel of the work, the labor, the effort, and the skill development, and the academic rigor unless they see a vision for themselves. And until that happens, you are not connected, you are not engaged, you're not pushing them further and faster. And so we also have this changing landscape in workforce development in this country, where we have tremendous opportunities. We talked a little bit earlier about, you know, Harvard. Not everybody has to go to a four-year, you know, get a four-year degree to be successful in America. Mm-hmm. Well, this, I mean, there are tremendous opportunities today out there that do not necessarily need a four-year degree. There are things that you can do through a two-year, you know, associate's degree or community college, through a technical college, through certifications. There's so many different things, but we've got this skills gap we're dealing with. Skills gap simply means this: there are millions of people who are unemployed, but there are millions of jobs that are open. People who are unemployed can't do the jobs that are open. Simple as that. You know, and employers are screaming in all kinds of industries: aviation, aeronautics, construction, manufacturing, healthcare, and many others. They're screaming for people who are qualified to do the kinds of things they need to have done. The skills gap currently sits at 6.7 million in this country, and it's grown 19 straight years in a row. It is approaching what could be one day catastrophic in this country, meaning that we will not have nearly the resources and people to do the things that need to be done in this country, and that will actually weaken it. So, I mean, that's what a skills gap crisis is. But we can get young people to understand what's possible. If they see a light at the end of the tunnel, they see what's possible, where they could go, and how they could do it more economically, they'll move forward in that direction.
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm almost done with the Steve Jobs book by Walter Isaacson.
I just finished it about 2 months ago.
Yeah, so you know.
It's a great one. Yeah. Good stuff.
So he's talking to Obama about how he can only find, I think, 7,000 engineers or whatever to work and do what's needed to actually pump out the Apple products that we consume here and around the world. And what they needed, though, and talk about a gap, they needed 30,000 engineers.
It's extraordinary.
Yeah. And they were nowhere to be found in the U.S. So he had to look abroad in terms of hiring people and just to simple supply and demand, you know? So that's a very powerful point to end on. Mark, you've been a fantastic guest and you knew this question was coming. This is the listener's favorite. And we love to hear from folks like you outside the industry. So you're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by any resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you, Mark, build your dream school and what would be your top three priorities?
It's a great question. I would build a school that was truly focused on career development, truly to understand how you can assess and create an understanding in young people as to what gives a competitive advantage in their life. And then what kinds of careers and lifestyles can they find out there, regardless, instead of picking. See, I think we do everything backwards in this country. In this country, we tell people to get educated. We tell them to go to college. When they get to college, they spend 2 years determining what they want to major in. And then once they major in something, about a month before they graduate, they start looking for jobs. And that it's at that moment that they realize whether or not they can actually get a job in the field that they studied. I think we need to do it completely opposite. I think in middle schools and high schools, we need to be offering career development to young people so that they can see the kinds of jobs and careers and occupations they'd like to have, then determine, well, what kind of education do I need to do that? And then what school should I go to now to learn what I need to learn to become that, so that they start with the end in mind and move through. So I would create a school where the priority was career development. The second priority was competitive advantage. The third priority would be professional skills, things like work ethic, punctuality, leadership, communication, work-life balance, stress management, networking, flexibility, and more. I would teach those ingrained at every level so that no matter where someone wants to go, they go there with a competitive advantage. And they go there understanding that that they're there with purpose. That's what I would do.
Love it. That'd be a great school to be a part of. And Mark, you have been an amazing guest. Thanks so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. What's the best way for people to get a hold of you if they want to follow up?
Great, Danny. Thank you. And by the way, thank you. It was a wonderful session. People can reach out to me on my website at markcperna.com. C is my middle initial. So it's Mark, M-A-R-K, middle initial C, and then Perna, P-E-R-N-A.com. There are all kinds of free resources available to educators, employers, and parents on the site. You don't have to sign up to get the free resources. They're all available there. People can also read the first chapter for free. And they can also connect to Amazon and other places to get the book. But it's also out there in 179 airport stores and 200 and I think 19 Barnes and Noble stores around the country.
Fantastic. Thanks again for being on the show.
Thanks, Danny. It was an honor.
All right, Better Leaders, just a few more things before you take off. I created a new resource for you called The Three Leadership Questions I Ask Every Day. You can download the resource by visiting betterleadersbetterschools.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. This helps me in a few ways. It gives the show some social proof. It encourages new people to listen to the show, and it improves the ranking of the show and therefore helps me serve more school leaders. If you want extra credit and some good vibes, share your biggest takeaway from the show and tag me on Twitter and Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer, and make sure to use the hashtag BLBS. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Join over 3,000 school leaders that get this resource delivered every week. In the weekend resource, I share content curated specifically for school leaders. You'll get articles, videos, templates, and exercises coaching tips, inspirational quotes, invitations to free Friday group coaching, which is an exclusive offer made available only to newsletter subscribers in the Better Leaders, Better Schools tribe, and links to all the content I created for you this past week. You can subscribe at betterleadersbetterschools.com/weekend-resource. And remember, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader.